bring in the magazine.
All right, everybody, welcome inside a live Rapid Reacts following the final round of the 2026 PDGA Champions Cup. A Finnish sweep at Silva Saarinen and Niklas Anttila win majors this week in Virginia. Charlie and Josh with you. We're joined by special guest Brian Earhart. Brian, what's up?
Not a lot. It's treehouse time.
We are here. We're in the treehouse. We're rocking and rolling. Josh, you know, as I've been doing this week, I'm coming off the air, so I just been talking for like 8 straight hours. You tell me your thoughts on the day.
I didn't say it this year because I was hoping if I didn't say anything, then maybe it would happen. I think I have had in like early season predictions for 3 years now that we would have a European major winner. And finally, it has happened. And here in the US, like no caveats, right? It wasn't the European Open. It was over here. It was in the US. Man, I am so excited. I love Niklas Anttila. He's just like a great person as well. And so couldn't have happened to a better guy, and thrilled to see him win it. And then obviously over on FPO, Silva getting her second major now.
Incredible. And meanwhile, there's a root beer conversation going on in the chat. Just my quick take. Barks, definitely the best.
It's got bite.
Barks got bite. Mug has like a weird vanilla flavor that I don't like.
See, I love vanilla. It's like a root beer float. But also Dad's root beer is underrated.
There was a place in Albuquerque, like a brewery that made root beer that you could get in a keg for like a party. Oh. That was elite. Like if you've ever had actually good brewed root beer, it's on another level. Joe says A&W. I do like A&W. I do think Barks is the winner though for like the big brand root beers. Yeah, gosh, this was amazing today. Like,
oh yeah. Yes.
We had crazy stuff happen immediately in both rounds. I mean, immediately Henna gives up strokes. Immediately AB takes an absolutely awful double bogey.
Yeah.
He almost laid it up out of bounds and said, it seemed to say on the air that he didn't know it was out of bounds. I don't know what
the white stakes are right there.
It's right in front of you.
He's probably just tunnel vision. But okay, I got to come clean here. So partly is that whatever company that is doing our caddy books, and you can click on anywhere on the hold map.
Yes.
It tells you distance from the pin. It was so wrong. So
horribly wrong.
It was 150 feet off. And I'm talking the first couple rounds about how hole one is playing so weird because it's only 470 to carry to the next landing zone. It's 600 to get to the next landing zone. I'm so angry. Yeah. But anyway, I had carry on.
Brian's been having this guilt on his conscience for the last
hours. I had like a theoretical discussion about course design because of that hole.
Let's stay in MPO. We just saw it. Gannon Burr ties the course record today, 10 under par.
Yep.
And you might have thought, if I told you yesterday Gannon's going to shoot the course record 10 down, you probably tell me he's going to win, right?
Yep. 100%. 10 times out of 10, I'd tell you that.
He did not. And in fact, I think Niklas probably could have shot a 9 down, but he laid up.
Yeah.
He played for par at the 18th.
Yep.
A very impressive showing from all of those guys on the lead card. Even Ricky had some good moments despite being a little bit off today. The pace was pretty measured. This is a nice way to put it. We had a lot of waiting for shots to happen. And so it like sometimes you didn't like get into the rhythm, but like when you actually step back and you look at how they shot today, just incredible shot making.
Can we look at the dichotomy though of how round three Marshall told the card he was marshalling compared to what Heinl told us he was doing today? I'm starting to not understand what a marshal is supposed to do.
Tell him. Yeah, no.
Okay, I don't know.
Directly, We heard this directly from Gannon last night.
So there's a whole situation on 15 talking about the rules of required relief. And we saw the marshal. I forget his name. He's been around a long time. Bill Newman.
Bill Newman.
Yeah,
he's a great guy. New York state coordinator for a long time. And awesome dude. He's been a PGA marshal at majors for a long time.
But for some reason, going into round three, he told Gannon and the rest of the card, "Hi, I'm your marshal. I'm not going to make any calls today. That's all on you guys." And then I get a text from Heinold, and then Heinold said, "I'm clocking every single shot."
He's like literally got the stopwatch out. He had the Nico stopwatch.
So now I have no idea what the actual role of a marshal is. And this week, and I hope you guys do some sleuthing too, I'm gonna find this out.
I mean, I just feel like there's an obvious lack of clarity around what the expectations are. It feels like every given person has their own vibe about how they're going to marshal the card. Mm-hmm. And that's not how it should be.
No.
Like, we need to have a standardized approach. And if the Pro Tour already has one, which I don't think they do because it hasn't been consistent at Pro Tour events either, then, like, the Pro Tour and the PGA need to get together and they need to say, when we have marshals on cards, this is how it's going to work. And these are the cards that are going to have marshals. It's only going to be X number of cards, and it's only going to be for rounds 3 and 4 or whatever. I don't even care. Like, come out and tell us what the rules are.
Here's the thing. I also don't believe that a majority of players on tour, I'm finding this out, and this is making me sad. Majority of players on tour this year, when I've pressed them about rules, they don't know them. There was the PGA gave them an opportunity to sit in it on a seminar to learn about the new rules, and 14 of them out of 203 made one of the three offerings that they gave them. And we're still hearing from the players that they don't know these rules. And also, I don't think a lot of marshals fully know the rules. So I personally think for like marshals and touring players that have a tour card, there needs to be a new exam and there needs to be a much higher standard. They need to be like the highest representatives of the rules. And at this point, with how much money is getting into it, it's non-negotiable.
Yes.
More to discuss on this topic another time. Just so impressive from Niklas today. And the guy's come so close so many times. And he was just drilling putts right and left. I mean, he was unflappable on the green. I think that's why he won. Like, if I had to boil it down, I feel like he threw about as well as the other guys. And he made more putts.
Didn't miss a single circle one putt, and that's it. That's what you got to do when you've got Gannon, who's going to play course record golf behind you, and AB, who's also playing very well. So, it definitely was the case. I think that and to note, that is where Niklas has struggled when pressure ramps up, in the past majors that he's been closer to the finish. Like, his putting can get shaky when he gets nervous, and so I was a little bit worried about it, and it just completely unfazed by anything that was happening around him. He was so locked in, and it was awesome to watch.
I'm sorry if I'm making eating sounds. I'm not trying to, but I am eating some crackers and hummus and drinking a beer right now because it's been on the air for literally forever. What beer? I'm having a Legion Carolina Feather. It is a gold medal winner at the North Carolina Brewers Cup. It's good. Hannah didn't even really lose it today.
No, she didn't.
Silva won it. I mean, what a round from Silva Saarinen. It was crazy out there. She was on pace at the turn to shoot one of the greatest rounds we've ever seen. Great round, not an all-timer, but that was as good a front nine as you could possibly shoot on this course. Insane.
She came out 5 through 6. I was like, this is unbelievable. Silva and missing 3 circle one putts, 2 of which were inside of 15 feet. That was crazy. She was throwing the disc so well. And to your point, Charlie, like, I really think this is all credit to Silva. Henna played a good round. It just wasn't good enough today.
And obviously, Henna's putter was not great.
It was fine,
but it wasn't the story. I don't think.
If Henna keeps putting 8 out of 12, so today she was 67%. If she puts that way all year, she'll win at least one, maybe two.
Yeah, and she was throwing it. She was throwing it absolutely great. I think she could win throw pink. She's always played well, Winthrop. Mm-hmm. She's going to get one at some point.
I think so too. It was really, really, really encouraging today. And like, I don't think, you know, we were joking. This does not, I don't think that's the right word for this, for Henna, like to keep her poise, to still play a great round, to not have the putter. I mean, there was no three putts. There was one or two that were egregious, but nothing. It was a whole different Henna. And that is exciting. This loss by Henna was not heartbreaking to me. I wish she could have won, but it was not the loss that I was worried we were going to see.
Josiah asked a question earlier. Will we look back on this major as a turning point for U.S. dominance in MPO disc golf? What do you think, Brian?
No.
I agree.
No.
I agree. I mean, I think Gannon didn't even really play that great this weekend by the standard that he has set, and he still was a shot away, basically.
Yeah.
On literally the only course that we're like, yeah, you know, Gannon, maybe we'll see. And then he doesn't play super well and is holds the course record second place now.
And
yeah,
they also say, Josiah is saying U.S. dominance, or, you know, right now it's Gannon and then it's Niklas in Finland. There's not too many other MPO players from Finland that are coming close to sniffing a major right now. And until I start to see Niklas hit like a 5-shot victory at a major and rattle off a few more, then maybe. I want to see a President's Cup win. That's the one that's going to make me excited.
Yeah. You know, we don't have that same depth on the MPO side, but how about the Europeans on the FPO side? It was a...
Holy smokes.
Epic weekend for them. Silva and Henna finish 1-2. Ida Lehtomäki is totally the future.
Uh-huh.
How awesome is Ida? She's already got mega distance.
Her putting stroke is unbelievable.
She's got all the pieces to be the next big thing.
Yep.
Cynthia Klesberga finishes in sixth. Evelina Salonen tied for sixth. Amazing.
I'm so excited for Cynthia. Like that. I'm very excited for Silva. I think Henna is an amazing storyline this weekend. Cynthia is my favorite storyline this weekend. MPO or FPO. I'm so excited for her to be at the major. I hope she tours more. Yes, this is sick. I love international disc golf. International, not in location, but in the representation in the field.
Right, right.
Yeah.
I'm trying to, like, what else stands out? You know, weird start for AB. You wonder if he could have won if he didn't start that with a double bogey like he did today.
He was so nervous. You could tell how
he was just nervous. You think that's what it was?
Oh, yeah. The disc coming out of his hand early. The putt and not knowing you were out of bounds. Like,
yeah.
That, to me, is like, bro, you're not present right now.
Well, and he was 3 inches from being out of bounds on the shot before that.
And he got lucky.
And he got lucky. Fun. Exactly. Yeah. So you know, the OB, yeah, it was not great. It was too bad.
Josiah says, without hole one in any round, the final scores would have been Anthony Barella 29 under, Gannon Burr 28 under, Niklas Anttila 25.
Great find. Great find.
What are your thoughts on hole one, Brian?
Well, now that I know what the distance actually is, I don't know. It feels to me like maybe I still, like, even with the distances being the way they are, Eagle's not in play. There's really no reason to have a second landing zone like that. Because it's 550 to the front landing zone. Why is there even a gap between landing zones? Maybe it's just the added pressure, but the way to play it is mid-range down the middle, mid-range again, or, you know, driver again. And I don't know, it just doesn't seem that crazy. I talked to multiple players, and none of them said the hole should be hard. But they all bogeyed it. So I think it's weird. It kind of stands out. But in a twisted way, I kind of liked it. Because when you watch a birdie, you're like, oh, yeah, that was easy.
Yeah. I don't know. I don't know if this is right. I don't trust stats on this thing. But are you ready for this? Okay. No one look right now. I want you to see Charlie Brian. Hole 18, 101 OB strokes this weekend. Okay, that was second most. How many OB strokes do you think hole one had?
MPO or FPO?
MPO. MPO alone.
175.
224.
And that's without everybody getting stats.
Yeah. Some people didn't have
yes.
stats. Because yes. It's a major. We don't need to take stats for everybody. You know?
Correct. yeah. 224 OB, recorded OB on hole one, with only 101 on the next highest.
Here's my gripe.
Okay.
My gripe is not the OB. My gripe is not even the right side OB. My gripe is that there's no reason to not be aggressive. Or I said that horribly. There is no reason to be aggressive. Why would you want to push your tee shot?
Yeah.
There's like not really a lot to gain. I want to see the option, and I don't know exactly what would need to change. Maybe you move the tee pad up. That would make the most sense, because if you could push the corner and get to the second landing zone on the first shot,
what if it was 470 to clear? What if it was 470 to clear?
Right.
Yeah.
Maybe it would be great.
There you go.
Just Mike says, wasn't Nicklaus playing it aggressively? I mean, Nicklaus was throwing further than like a little chip putter. And so he was playing more for birdie. But like, there was absolutely no way to even consider the possibility of an eagle. And like, I feel like we should try to make more holes be a little bit tweener. The most exciting holes today on the back nine were the ones where eagle was in play.
So I agree. I think there's one disagreement, though, and problem is that in the back nine, it makes sense to have tweener holes because there's incentive to go for it. On hole one, if you make it a tweener where an eagle is a possibility, that oftentimes results in playing for birdie being easier, and there's just not as much incentive on a hole one to go for 18 or to go for an eagle. And so... that's what worries me a little bit about trying to emphasize or create that opportunity in the beginning.
Josiah says, or celebrate those players who can confidently throw their mids three straight times for a birdie. I get it.
Fair.
And some players executed pretty well this weekend.
Yep.
What a weird hole. So weird how badly players played it.
They
could
so
not throw it straight. Then they go into these insane tight gaps and blast a shot perfectly straight. Like, I don't understand how AB doesn't just throw his Luna perfectly straight on hole one when he can throw it perfectly straight on, you know, whatever other hole.
Yeah.
What is the deal?
Yeah.
Is it just because it's hole one and you're nervous? Maybe that's the deal. Strange.
Maybe.
All right. What else, folks? Bring some stuff up in the chat. So, Just Mike just posts a picture of Ricky Wysocki.
Is he doing a stuck it? What is he doing?
That's like a DGN thing that they have.
It looks like he's going whoop.
Bailey's sitting at his gate trying not to miss his flight. Well, I've done that, and then I've missed a flight, so be careful.
That is true. While doing the rapid reacts.
I was just like, okay, I'm, you know, the last people are boarding. I gotta get on. And then I was like, oh, this is the flight to Raleigh. This is not the flight to New York. I turn around and doors closed.
James Conrad and his partner Jordan went to the airport to go take a trip to like Puerto Rico. I think they were vacationing and playing a tournament, and they missed their flight while they were sitting at their gate because they didn't hear the flight get called. And then they called us and said, hey, we're coming back home.
Oh my God.
That's funny.
People want to hear us talk about the household name.
Yeah. That's...
I hope you enjoyed him being a household name because he's about to like not be on tour anymore.
Yeah, he's done. He made enough money to pay for the bill if he goes to the wrong hospital.
I forgot he's not going to be touring. It's so sad.
Well, Ivan Smith played great. You know, tied for fifth with Calvin Heimberg and Isaac Robinson. That's nice company to keep. And I just don't think we should be surprised. This guy is, what's his rating right now? 1037.
1037.
I think he's down off the highs, but, you know, he's fun to watch.
Yeah. All right, Charlie, I'll give you one. Who is world number one in FPO right now?
Silva.
Okay. I don't think it's controversial.
I think this weekend you have to give it to her.
Have to. Yeah.
If you look at the major performance over the last few years, Silva's outplayed Holland at almost every major. Mm-hmm. And who else is in the conversation? I don't think, you know, Missy.
She reminds me of Niklas without the distance liability. She has equitable distance to a lot of the best throwers in the division. There's only a few that throw probably farther than her when she's throwing a hyzer flip. Yeah, she's by far the best player. She's got better touch than Holland. I don't know.
If Silva goes and figures out a like utility forehand,
I'm ready to say she's never going to get one. If she didn't get one this offseason, when's she going to get one?
I mean, we said that about Missy for a while, though. Come on. She can get one.
Casey said, Silva said she felt added pressure after taking over the number one PDGA ranking. Does that surprise you? I guess it surprises me in that she like expressed that she felt emotions about a thing.
Yeah.
You know?
I think it's cool. Other people feel stuff.
Yeah. How many other? So someone said odds for another major this year. I think it's a better question of like over under 1.5 more majors.
What do we have coming up? We have Salt Lake U.S. Women's, which I know nothing about. We have European Disc Golf Festival. Well, now it's European Open again, but. It's going to be four rounds at Tallinn.
Mm-hmm. Yep, where she won last year.
She won, so I feel good about that. I don't know. Yeah. I don't know anything about the Salt Lake situation. And then we have Worlds
Detroit.
In Toboggan / whatever this woods course is. Locust, Black Locust.
Yep. And then
you know,
and, yeah.
She's got as good a chance as anybody of winning any of these, in my opinion.
And
I still feel like Holland's going to get one this year.
Man, I hope you're right.
I won't be surprised if Missy gets another one this year. I won't be surprised if one of the other Finns wins one this year. Like, it feels still pretty flat to me. I mean, Silva didn't play great. She played fine. She didn't play amazing until this final round.
Yeah.
And it's not inevitable in my mind that she's going to be the one who clutches up because she was anti-clutch a couple months ago at Throw Pink.
Yep, she was. So I don't think Silva's like a couple people were making some Kristen comps in here, and it's like let's back up a little bit for a minute.
Whoa.
maybe not quite yet.
Gonna need to see another couple performances like this in final rounds.
Yes, she's got it in her, though. I mean, she's got the toolkit.
Yes, that's unquestionable. Sure.
I have a guy, some guy from Estonia on his, I'm assuming he's from Estonia, but he's on his alt, like fake Instagram account that he uses to troll people. Clearly he messages me on Instagram like every other day. Kristen is the goat. Have a wonderful day. His name's, it's like Maxwell. That's what he shows up as. He trashed me online like years ago, and I responded to him with something, you know, snarky. And then he messaged me telling me how much he didn't appreciate me saying that to him. And then since then, he just randomly, I've never responded to him. He'll just say, Kristen is the GOAT. Have a nice day.
Obviously, Kristen is not the GOAT. Paige is the GOAT. Yeah. Just Mike just posted Paige in the chat. Paige is clearly the GOAT. Paige has how many more wins on the majors than Kristen? Yep. Like 10?
Yeah, but does she have fans like that?
She have fans like Maxwell? No, she doesn't. She's not the fan favorite. Kristen is definitely more preferred by fans, but that does not make her the GOAT. Here's a hot take.
Okay.
Kristen's coming back in 2027.
I've seen a couple of people say that. I think it was on the Discord. I've seen people saying that. Yeah, they're saying it.
Listen, if Silva has like a mega year, you know how bad Kristen's going to want to come back and reestablish dominance?
She's going to be with the monks like Wemby. She's going to train with the Shaolin monks.
here's what I want.
Pictures of her karate kicking.
I want Kristen to come back next year.
Kristen.
I want Kristen to come back next year, but only for the majors. I want her to win all of them and then retire again. Just so everyone knows, like, hold on. I did this because I wanted to, not because I had to.
Just play the majors. Like, that's totally possible that she could do, or like a super abbreviated tour, like play Europe and then play the majors. I feel like there's PGA Tour pros who play not only the majors, but like they take a very short schedule and they pretty much only play the biggest tournaments. I would be totally happy with that.
Oh, yeah.
I think Eagle was trying to do that at one point. I think Eagle was trying to play like 7 tournaments a year. But I don't think any sponsor would like that.
She would still be able to be sponsorable if she did something like that. That's how big the star factor is.
She's not playing right now and she's still sponsorable.
True facts.
Okay, I wanted to, what baskets were these?
Chainstar Pro,
Discraft.
Man, I felt like there were some like Heiser putts that I could have swore were going to catch, and they did not.
Here's my take after watching them for a weekend. If you're not in the middle, you're rolling the dice. These are not friendly baskets, but they're fair. Obviously, we had the Ricky spit out, but like that's one of those 1 in 100s that could always just get like horribly unlucky. We've seen that on every basket.
Yeah, no, I wasn't even thinking of the Ricky.
If you put a soft, like if you put enough. The right pace, you could catch left side with a right-handed hyzering putt. But if you were like a spin putter on the left side, like Silva, get out of here. You were not getting that to drop. And I don't have a problem with it as long as it's fair and it felt fair.
Yeah, it's not like a Prodigy basket. Prodigy baskets, you know, those are truly unfair on the outsides. But I think Chainstar Pros, and this is, you know, Discraft bias aside for me, I think it's the best basket in disc golf. I think it's also the biggest glow up from the original Chainstars, which were horrible.
Those were garbage.
The worst. The little orange tape was actually where the spit out would happen.
Pole. Yep. We had them on the course in Montana that I played that you hit the tape and it spit.
Casey said, didn't Ida have a dead center spit out today? It was high. It was center, but it was high. And, you know, I don't know. Again, it's like a fair thing. Was that a fair spit out?
MVP basket.
It was not one you want, but it wasn't like the brutal stuff we've seen on like the dynamic one, whatever is it, what is that called?
Oh, the veterans.
I was literally talking about this. Oh, veteran. Oh god.
Yeah, the veteran. Yeah, those are terrible.
All right. I don't know who Farmiches. MVP baskets are not better than the Chainstar Pro. I have played on the MVP baskets a lot. And I have had some of the most random BS spit outs on these things. And I've played a lot on these baskets. They're fine. But like, I firmly believe Chainstar Pro better basket. Sorry to jump in. I've heard a lot of people say that. I have had, maybe this is a personal anecdote, never had that on a Chainstar Pro.
You know what I like? I like the New Zealand ones.
I've RPM.
Those spinny ones.
I've heard those are great.
Yeah.
Helix. Those are sick.
The reason I was asking about the baskets, there were a couple of Silvas. The first one was horrific. That was just a terrible miss.
I'm not sponsored by Discraft anymore.
But the like the third miss, I think, that was like kind of high and left. My point is, I think Silva had a couple 50-50s that went against her. And it made it look worse when she had those three misses. And I thought two of the three of them were like borderline whether or not they should have stayed. And so people were mentioning her putt, and I think you like on air, Sarah said like, oh, look, like Silva and Henna are flipping, like Silva's not putting that well. And I thought Silva was putting better than those spit outs made her look.
Well, it was a very interesting weekend. I need to get ready to go to the airport. So let's get through our dogs of the day. We don't have to do four clients today, obviously. Dog of the weekend, I guess. Dog of the weekend. Can't do the winners.
We
should just do dog of the, should we just do dog of the day? Because we did did days all week long.
That's fine. It doesn't change my answer. Cynthia Klesberga gets my dog of the day weekend, you name it. I'm so stoked for her. That's so awesome.
I'm pretty sure I can't run it back with Ida Letamaki for a third straight day. I feel like I shouldn't do that. You know what? I'm going to give it to Henna Blomroos.
You should. Okay, good. I was going to be like, okay.
Let me tell you why. I think she was poised. She did not choke. She played a pretty good round. She stabilized after a slow start. She fought back. She got two on 11. She was in it to the end.
Yes.
And I thought she had nice things to say after the round. And she wasn't, you know, devastated or like, I'm obviously she was upset, I'm sure, that she didn't win. But like, she was stoic. And I was impressed with her ability to like make the putts today and stay with it. And she just simply lost to a new course record. I mean, it was an incredible performance from Silva.
Yeah. Yep. Love it. MPO, you get to go first.
Anthony Barella. He coughs up three on the first hole, and he finds his way all the way back. It's very similar to Henna's story. And he also went for it on 18, which I thought was awesome. Like, dude could have played safe and tried to get a share of second, and instead he went big because he was trying to win. And I love that. I absolutely love that. I think, you know, obviously a terrible start, but a very respectable finish for AB. And boy, he came close. He had those two putts. He had the one at 15 for Eagle that didn't miss by much. And then he had the little bender at the 17th, and he almost made it.
Almost made that too.
If either of those putts goes down, we could have talking about one of the most legendary putts of all time.
Yeah.
All right, my dog of the day is Aaron Gossage. I can't believe that he even finished in the top 20 at all. He was like, what, plus 10 after the front nine?
I think that's right.
Unreal. I don't know what dog of the day is, but that's my guy.
Josh, go, and then I got to go.
Okay, good dog. I'm just going to get yelled at. I'm going to yell at it, yelled about it. I don't know who else to pick, though.
I'm going to yell at you.
Oh, the entire chat. Like, Gannett sets a course record. Like, I'm not going to do it, though. I'm not going to pick Gannett. I just refuse. I'm going to get roasted. Household name, Evan Smith. Dog of the day. Plays five down. Very nice before he takes steps away from tour for a while. I don't know who else to pick. Like, there's no one outside of AB that I can pick. Can I take the country?
He was going to be a terrible pick no matter what. That's what he just said.
Can I do the country of Finland? Is that allowed? I know we were speculating that. Can that be my dog?
I love it.
Yeah.
Finland had an incredible weekend.
Incredible weekend.
All right, everybody. Thank you so much. Great to have you with us all weekend. I really enjoyed the chat and enjoyed the reacts. Thank you, Josh, and thanks, Brian, for coming by.
You're welcome, Charlie. Casey Wide Open, you're coming back.
Casey Wide Open, I'm coming back. I'm off for Jonesboro, so Brian, hold it down.
I will.
I'll be back for Kansas City, which I'm really looking forward to. It was a lot of fun last year, even though it was rain short.
All right.
That's it for the Rapid React. Talk to you this week on the main show.
Bye now.